I'm Marshall here at WorldCon, and I'm very lucky to be speaking with Kate Sheehy. I saw her on a panel the other day talking about national identity. So thanks so much for being here, Kate.
I'm delighted to be here.
Can you tell us a little bit about yourself and you know why you're at this con or cons in general?
Well, I'm an engineer, and partly I'm an engineer because I'm a science nerd. And to some extent, I don't know whether it's a chicken or an egg, the science nerd kid grew up reading about the stars and reading about science fiction. For me, fantasy was a secondary concept. I was blown away by the idea of going to the stars. And as I got older, it became more and more obvious that we weren't going to be doing that very much. And so my work has remained much more terrestrial. So my hobbies have remained as much going to the stars as possible. And so I've stayed very much in the genre of science fiction.
Excellent.
And that's kind of brought me to conventions and meant that most of my friends are people who work in this industry. Although curiously, large numbers of my friends actually write fantasy, which is hysterical because I don't read all that much fantasy. And so recently, I've been reading a lot of fantasy because I have to stay in touch with what my friends are doing.
Right, of course. And so your friends are writing. Do you write as well?
I don't write any fiction at the moment, at any rate. What I do write are biographies on Wikipedia. My whole thing is because I'm in the genre world, I know that women don't get very well represented in coverage talking about genre writing. And it turns out that only 17% of the biographies on Wikipedia are about women now.
Oh, wow.
It's always going to be true that there'll be fewer because historically we've tracked what men do more than what women do.
Mm-hmm.
And we're never going to catch up on that. We've got several thousand years of history that's going to have more men in history books than women. But that's still a really low number.
Yes.
And when you start getting into looking up how many of the writers that are there that are women, it becomes even lower when you look at genres, styles. So my goal has very much been to try and improve genre women on Wikipedia. Obviously, I'm incredibly biased. I want Irish women to be there first.
Sure.
And after that, then I start looking at minorities and people from other countries and getting them on, because a bit like being at conventions at and this kind of thing, writing on Wikipedia becomes addictive. And once you start, you can never stop. That's the end of that. So that's the kind of writing I do at the moment. Whether or not it'll ever morph into fiction writing as well, I don't know. But at the moment, it suits my engineering background to be able to dig out all the facts and figures about somebody and make sure there's an article about them.
Sure, that's fantastic, and a noble goal for sure.
Well, it's nice to have a goal. Need a place to aim.
Yeah. So the panel that I saw that you were on, I'm not sure, there's probably multiple, but I just saw the one, was national identity. And in writing and how people sort of are represented and what sort of representation there is. Can you tell us, were you invited to be on the panel, or were you asking to be on this panel?
I was invited to be on this particular panel in part because I have this, as I said, a bias towards all things Irish, which, as I said, on the panel is kind of, I'm perfectly happy with the idea that I'm biased towards my home country. I know the people of my home country better than I know the people of any other body's country. And it's really not that surprising. And the result is that when I'm reading fiction, if a character from Ireland shows up in it, I will spot them even if it's only because they have a surname or they have some small reference that indicates that this person has an Irish background, and it could be several generations ago, but I'll recognize that they have an Irishness, where I may not spot that, you know, a character has any other background in a book. I'll spot the Irishness. And so, I was asked to come on the panel partly because I'm good at having an opinion and because I'm aware of the implications of the stereotypes, the concepts behind what it means to have somebody Irish in a TV show. And how those stereotypes can sometimes turn up even if you don't specify that the person is Irish.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
You don't have to call them out as being Irish for it to be an Irish stereotype.
Certainly, yeah. One of the points that has sort of, I've been thinking about from that panel a lot was there was a bit of a discussion about season Lou's three body problem and that trilogy. And it was said that when he was writing it, he was trying to really just focus on the science and not worry about like sort of the social aspects and the nationalities and such, which is a bit, if it's true, it's a bit naive. Because I think anytime you're writing a story that has people in it.
Well, I think, yeah, if you're writing a story and you want to focus on the science, I think you cannot get away from your unconscious biases. You can't get away from where you're basing the story. And how, no matter what universe you base the story in, you're going to be basing it with, you're either playing to your biases or you're intentionally trying to get away from them, which shows up your biases.
Yes.
And so somebody writing a story based who's Irish and grew up in Ireland is going to write a different story to someone who grew up in China, because we are very different countries. People may be much the same. If you drop an Irish person as a child into China, they're going to grow up just like a Chinese person in China. But that's not going to be the same as if you take two adults out of those two countries and ask for their opinions on things, because they will be formed by the society in which they grew up.
Yes, yeah, absolutely.
So the writer is formed by the society in which he or she grew up. And to assume that you can get away from that is naive. I'm not sure that the writer was actually trying to get away from it, but that they felt like they weren't writing a social commentary. They were writing about the science. And I think what was being suggested was that you can do that. But reality is, you're writing philosophy, you're writing social commentary, because you're writing from within yourself.
Yeah. Because when we read it, and the book club that I'm part of read it, we thought there was an awful lot of social commentary in that book in particular. So,
yeah, and it's I sometimes find, I mean, some of them are the daftest little things. Like when I was very small and I was reading Enid Blyton.
I'm unfamiliar, but...
Enid Blyton is a children's author from the 40s and 50s.
Okay.
And she wrote school stories.
Yep.
And fairy stories and all sorts of things. But she wrote a series of school stories. And in it, the schools were broken up into four houses. They were all boarding schools. And they were broken up into four houses. And the houses would compete against each other. And then when Harry Potter came along, the houses are broken up into four houses. And the houses compete against each other. I thought this was a trope, a concept, a construct, something that wasn't real. Until a friend of mine made a comment about how when she had been in school, her house had done something.
Oh.
And I was like, what do you mean your house? What? But that's just like, that's just a thing writers created. And it turns out, no, schools in the UK are often broken up into houses as a way to structure the students. And they do things and they compete against each other and they do things as part of their house.
Oh, wow.
I never thought it was real.
No.
But it is. It's a perfectly normal part of their society.
That's incredible. Yeah.
And so it doesn't, once you step out of your, once you read a book that comes from a writer who has a completely different social upbringing to you, you're reading social commentary, because you're, even if they're only talking about everyday normal things that happen to them, you have no experience of that.
Yep.
It's magic to you.
Yeah.
It's a different world.
Oh, wow. That's, Yeah. Which, yeah, it proves the point very well. That's great. And then also, I mean, from that panel, you were talking about, you know, if somebody wants to have an Irish person in a story, they just sort of, you know, they give them red hair and they make them pale and an affinity for drink. And then I was thinking with that sort of in context with the not thinking about social commentary at all leaves you writing social commentary that you just haven't thought about. And I don't know if they're symptoms of the same problem or...
I don't know. I mean, sometimes there are stories that annoy me because they make the assumption that an Irish person must be white.
Right.
And they're not based in the modern world. They're based in the future. Or they're based in the US.
Mm-hmm.
And there's an island, Montserrat. And the people on Montserrat speak with an Irish accent.
Yes.
And they celebrate St. Patrick's Day. And they have Irish surnames and Irish first names. And they can trace their families back to Ireland. But they're black.
I heard about this island while I was here. It's fascinating.
And they're black because they were slaves.
Yeah.
And they're Irish because the Irish were indentured servants or slave owners. And they worked, they lived, they married, they had children. The island was freed. So the people there are just as much Irish as they are African in many cases.
Mm-hmm.
There was a movie with Denzel Washington called The Mighty Quinn.
Yeah.
It's based on a Caribbean island. Quinn is an Irish surname.
Oh, okay.
My mother came in while I was watching it one time and she went, oh, right, yes, he's Irish. Okay. And walked out. So if you're not, I mean, Ireland is very strongly a monoculture.
Yeah.
It's changing because Ireland, when I was growing up, was poor. So who the hell would come here to try and find work? We were the emigrants. We were the people showing up on other countries' doorsteps.
Yeah.
It's not the same level of poor now. We have more money than I ever thought this country could produce. The result is we have people showing up on our doorstep looking for work.
Sure.
And we're going to have to get used to that. And it's very strange. And it's, I'm not going to say we're good at it, but, you know, I think it's miraculous.
Yes.
But the result is that, yeah, okay, if you were, when I was growing up, if you were talking about an Irish person, there was a 99.9999999997% chance that you were talking about someone who was white.
Yeah.
But if you were in America, you weren't.
Oh, okay.
There's no reason to assume that somebody in America who was black wasn't an Irish American, except that they're black.
Right.
And that's not seen as being Irish.
Sure, sure.
And that pisses me off. There was a scene in The Fugitive.
Yeah.
Where they're in Chicago. I think Chicago,
at
an Irish St. Patrick's Day parade. And they're teasing each other about whether or not they're Irish. And they turn to the one black character in the cast and they say, are you Irish? And he says, do I look Irish? And I'm like,
yes.
Well, yeah. I mean, sure. Why not?
As much as anybody else.
Right? I mean, the Irish married the Italians.
Yeah.
They married black people. They married Native Americans. They didn't do a lot because people are racist idiots a lot of the time, but some of them did. So yep. Just because you don't look white with red hair and green eyes does not mean you don't look Irish.
Yeah, fantastic.
And besides, you know, I grew up in a world where my brother had dark hair, dark eyes, dark skin. I mean, very tanned skin, and would have local shopkeepers in our town telling him that he spoke excellent English because clearly he was a tourist.
Oh, no.
I got it, but not quite as often as he did.
Yeah.
He and my other brother, who has very pale skin and brown hair, were on a beach in the south of France, and they could hear two girls talking English. And one of them was saying, well, one, they look really similar, but one of them's clearly Greek or Italian, and the other guy's like German or something. So, no.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And now I tease, when I hear someone with an Irish accent, they're Irish. My brain just categorizes them as Irish. And the thing that's really funny about that is that most people don't think I have an Irish accent.
Oh.
Because I'm a mimic, not like a professional mimic, but I copy people. I copy their accents. I copy the way they move, the way they talk. Not intentionally. It's one of those mirroring things that we do. But I will end up using, if I'm talking to the same person for a long time, I'll end up using the words that they use. I will end up using the same kind of sentence interrupters, you know, the ums.
Yes, yeah.
That they use. I will tend to use the same kinds of hand gestures, and my accent will morph to theirs.
Oh, wow.
Now, this has caused me interesting problems, where a nice girl from Derry told me that I had a perfectly good Cork accent of my own, and I pointed out that that was nice, but I was from Kilkenny. And that the reason I had a Cork accent when she met me was because I'd been talking to someone from Cork shortly before the conversation had begun. It's not as bad now that I'm older, but now that I'm older, it's become just a sort of mid-Atlantic accent where all of the accents that I've ever had over my life have all sort of morphed into one.
Sure.
And now I'm stuck somewhere floating over the Atlantic Ocean with this accent that most Irish people don't think is an Irish accent. So my cue for telling that someone is Irish is their accent, and my accent doesn't cue that.
Yeah. Oh, that's funny. Super. Well, thanks so much for taking the time to talk with us.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
Is there anything else you wanted to add, or any, you know, any book recommendations or anything like that?
If I can be evil, the book recommendations that I would give would be to read Ruth Frances Long and C.E. Murphy, and give those both they've got a wide variety of books, so you can look them up and see which ones you like the sound of and go with those. They're both in the fantasy realm, though, because, as I said, my friends write fantasy.
Super.
it's bizarre, but there you go. And Tade Thompson as well.
Oh, he's Rosewater is
Rosewater's doing really well. Yeah.
It's my next book to read. So
yeah, he's a sweetheart too.
Awesome. Thanks so much.
Okay.